Good morning, beloved, in Jesus' beautiful, wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a wonderful subject today. Praise God. I know some of us in our natural person are not going to be too thrilled with it, but I believe if you have any hunger for the presence of God, if you have any passion for the kingdom of God, there's a part of you, your spirit, the life of Jesus in you, that will love this word from God. God is dealing with me, as he has many, many times, about suffering in the will of God and the sufferings of this present time that cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And it could be said like this: the sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory they will produce in us. If you look at all the scriptures on suffering, you can find that that is the truth. And the Lord has shown me some things lately, continually, about suffering and about the things that we go through and about the purpose for these things. And the world, there is a lie in the world that comes from Satan, and it has permeated every part of society. And that lie has been told and spread often through television and through movies and through ideas of man. And if you when my kids were little, I wouldn't let them watch Disney. They still make fun of me for that today, that you wouldn't even let us watch Disney. And the reason I wouldn't let them watch Disney is because I saw a common thread, and the way I saw it back then was a rebellion and a rejection against authority. And so I wouldn't let them watch it, because in almost every Disney show, in almost every Disney movie, that there's an idea that you're with the wrong person if you're suffering. You need to find the right person. Even many shows, even now on Hallmark, it's almost always the same theme. You're dating or you're engaged to the wrong person. You don't get along well with this person. Now, at least at this point, they don't often say you're married to the wrong person. It's just, it's the deception is subtle. It's like you're with the wrong person or you'd be happy. And so in these shows, in Hallmark and in Disney, it shows them with the wrong person, and then it shows Mr. Right or Mrs. Right coming along. And right before this person marries the wrong person, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right comes along, and they finally find the person they were meant to be with, to live happily ever after in this deep love and perfect peaceful relationship. And so you watch this on Disney, and then it's also the same thing with children, and Disney's constantly emphasizing, don't let anybody mold you. Don't let anybody control you. Be your own person. Branch out into the world and find your niche. Find your happiness. Find what you were made for. In other words, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to preachers. Don't listen to teachers. Don't listen to people like that. Be yourself. And this generation, friend, there's never been a generation like there is right now, where they call themselves woke. And what they mean by that is they are woke to all the oppression and all the oppressors. And they're not going to allow anybody to oppress them. They're going to fight for their rights to be happy. Now, here's what's interesting. Whenever you go and find any of these actors in any of these Disney shows that portrayed that stuff, they are the most miserable people in the world. They're on a conglomerate of medications to keep and hold back their anxiety, to hold back their depression, to hold back panic attacks. If they don't commit suicide, many of them, they're on these medicines to keep them from committing suicide. If you look at Hollywood, you look at all the actors and the way that they end up, the reason they end up this way is because of their philosophy of life. They end up in these dark, dark places because of their philosophy of life. I saw a little excerpt of, I can't even remember his name, but one of these guys, famous singers, he was gay and played the piano. I don't even remember his name, but they made a movie out of him recently. And I was reading an article how he was always talking about how his dad was abusive. And they went back and researched this guy's family. and found out his dad was never abusive. He said his dad would never come to his concerts. And he found out his dad came to every concert. And then they found out, and what he actually said, he said, my dad was so abusive, he tried to control what I eat. He was talking about like when he was 10 years old, 12 years old, that they were trying to make their son have a decent, balanced diet. His dad never even spanked him. I couldn't believe it. And he was talking about how abusive his father was. But this was all his persona. And he developed this wild lifestyle and persona, and he blamed it on his oppressive father. He had to go find himself. And friend, he lived crazy, miserable, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of things he was fighting because of this. And they made the movie, and then in the movie, they made it look like his dad was oppressive, and he did find his true self. And it's just all an absolute lie. So for time's sake, let me kind of just delve into the meat of this thing. The devil wants you to believe that no suffering, that no difficulty is good for you, that there is an escape, there is something better for you, and it's all a facade. It's all a lie. I was talking to someone yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I have difficulties in my marriage often. You know, it's hard for us to communicate at times. We're from two totally different cultures. My wife's from Brazil. And from the first week I got married, the devil started telling me, you married the wrong person, because it takes a lot of work. Still, 21 years later, it takes a tremendous amount of work for my wife and I to communicate. Sometimes I'm biting my tongue until it's almost bleeding. And other times I should be biting my tongue and I'm not. And she suffers and I suffer, and we go through a lot of difficulties, but we stay together. You know, we pray, we seek the Lord, and we make it. You know, we work it out. We find our joy and our peace, you know, in different ways, going after God. And often we do have times where we get along good and we laugh together, and we love each other. And so, well, I say we love each other. We always love. Love is not a feeling, friend. My God, even some of that deception was in that one statement right there. Love is not a feeling. You know, love is being patient when your flesh doesn't want to be patient. You know, love is thinking highly or putting the other person before yourself when your flesh doesn't want to do that. That's the real love of God flowing through you. So the devil's often told me, you just married the wrong person. There's somebody out there that you could be happy with. There's somebody out there that would make you feel good. There's somebody out there that you could communicate with a lot better. There's a woman out there that will submit to you and do everything you say. And I'm sure the devil tells my wife, there's a man out there who will always be patient with you. There's a man out there who will understand you, especially when she watches all those shows that the girls like to watch, you know. And the devil's always lying. He's always lying. And I met this person yesterday. Matter of fact, I was talking to them, and they're on their third marriage, I believe. And they were telling me that they finally found the right person. They finally found the right. Now, this is while I'm going through some struggles with my spouse. They finally found the right person. And the devil, once again, he can't get me anymore, hardly ever, with this idea, because I know right away he's lying. The idea, they finally found the right person after the third try. And the devil's like, see? See, there's somebody out there for you. And here's what they were really saying. What they were really saying is, I finally found somebody I can live with that doesn't, I don't feel pressure. I don't feel anxiety. I don't feel stress. I get along with them perfectly fine almost all the time. They're always nice to me. And it's that's what they're saying. I finally found the right one. And the devil says, see, that's the problem. You're not with the right one. There's happiness out there for you. There's happiness somewhere in this world for you. And it's a lie. It's deception. And friend, if you do find that, if you do find the place with no pressure, if you do find the place where you're not suffering anymore, then you have found your way out of the will of God. If you really study the scriptures and understand this short little life that we have, you'll understand that the sufferings that we go through, the pain that we're dealing with. As a matter of fact, the more that we go through and seek the Lord while we're going through it, the more we can be transformed into His likeness, the more we can find out the real truth of what this Adamic life is all about, the more we can hate the Adamic life, not hate our wife, not hate a, well, Jesus said if you don't hate your wife, but He wasn't talking about being rude and impatient, but the more we can find out what it's really all about. And so suffering, friend, in this world is part of the will of God. And the devil wants you to run from it because he doesn't want you to be molded. He doesn't want you to allow God to work on you. If you really look in the scriptures about suffering, you'll find out it's the will of God. This is why eventually, very soon, mankind is going to try to ban the Bible. They've done it many times, but now they're going to be able to do it with big tech. They're going to try to get rid of the Word of God. I encourage you, keep paper Bibles around. Keep them around, because there's coming a time very soon publishers will stop printing the Bible. There's coming a time very soon where you won't be able to find the Bible with the internet, with technology. Because big tech is a precursor of the Antichrist. It's a precursor of the mark of the beast. We saw a lot of this with all the censorship lately. Somebody may think I'm crazy saying that stuff, but friend, it's coming. There's coming a time where you will not be able to buy or sell without His mark. And friend, just with this coronavirus, they were talking about putting a digital signature in the vaccine, where they could actually read it in your body and know if you've been vaccinated and know if you're safe to buy and sell, know if you're safe to go out in public. And if you hadn't had the vaccine, you can't go out in public. They didn't do that, but that's what they were thinking of doing. Bill Gates was the one suggesting very strongly putting a digital signature. They've got technology. They've got technology to do this, where all they have to do is put a tiny, tiny, tiny microchip into a vaccine, and bam, you're marked. Bam, you're allowed to buy and sell. Bam, they can find you anywhere with a satellite. And friend, this isn't some conspiracy theory. Ron Paul, one of the senators, is writing papers about this. He knows what they're planning to do, and he's warning people about it. Now, he's not talking about God and the Antichrist. He's talking about losing our freedoms as Americans. But he knows what's going on. He's a senator, for God's sakes. He's a U.S. senator warning us of these digital signatures that are coming, these chips that are coming that will be able to track you anywhere you're at. He's warning us of the loss of freedom. He sees it as a loss of America, loss of American freedom. But what he's seeing is the coming of the Antichrist. That's what he's seeing. He's seeing that coming of the Antichrist. Praise God. So back to this suffering thing. When we try to escape this and we try to run from it, we get out from under what God is trying to do in our lives. There's this deception. There's a deception that happiness is out there for you. And they want us to pursue happiness. And friend, if you pursue happiness, you're not pursuing God. You're not pursuing God if you pursue happiness. When we suffer and we go through battles and we go through difficulties, God uses these things to draw us close to Him. And I was getting back to the world. The world, why will they ban the Bible? You know, the Bible says right here, there's a scripture, if you're a slave, if you're a bond servant, you should submit to your master. Even if your master is ill-tempered and cruel, you should submit to your master. Now, how does that fit in the woke generation? How does that fit in the woke generation's mindset? It is the opposite of what the woke generation believes. The woke generation's against police. We think it's about racism. That's part of it. But friend, the whole thing about racism is about the woke generation. It's about being woke, and I'm not going to allow the oppressor to oppress me. Where the Bible says the opposite. If you're oppressed, submit to the oppressor. Oh my God, people will kill you today if you say something like that. And they know this stuff is in the Bible. They know it's in the Bible, and they hate the Bible. Why does God tell a slave to submit to his master, even if the master is cruel? Because in that suffering, in that difficulty, the one who is oppressed is pushed to seek God, is pushed to find his strength in God and not in what man finds his strength in, not in what man wants. Man's pursuing happiness, but God said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, which is the word pressure. You're going to have constant pressure, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome it. This is something we've got to face, something we've got to go through. But the world says, no, 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 no. If you're in a marriage that's difficult, get out. Go find the right person. That is Satan, friend, 100% Satan. It doesn't mean you can't work on your marriage. It doesn't mean you can't pray and seek the Lord for there to be good communication, or at least for you to learn when to shut your mouth, praise the Lord, and to be patient as you can, even if the person opposes you, even if they oppose everything you say, everything you do. You are like, I can't stand this. I can't stand this person. I can't stand this job. I can't stand this boss. I can't stand this relationship. I can't stand my parents. And Satan says, run, because there's happiness out there for you. And that is the opposite of the will of God. It's the opposite. So the Bible said, if you're a slave, submit to your oppressor, even if they're cruel, even if they're cruel. The devil tricked me as a pastor, and I tried very hard to help people to keep their marriages together, but I began to have this idea that God does not expect any person to live under constant oppression. And that was my idea, because I counseled couples where the wife, usually it's the wife, I say, my husband's a jerk. You know, he's always putting me down. He's always lecturing me. It's just talk all the time. Talk, 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 talk. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You don't know what you're doing. And I started to think, you know, I read that scripture in Corinthians 7 and said, well, God called us to live in peace. And I left out the whole context. But God called us to live in peace. I was like, well, God doesn't expect you to live like that. And so, man, through my counsel and my encouragement, the person or the people that I dealt with, they began to get courage. They began to get courage to run from the situation and find their happiness and get away from that oppressor. And that's the opposite of the will of God. And so by doing that, I brought judgment upon myself. And my marriage began to suffer many of the exact same things I was trying to help other people get away from. And the devil said, okay, now you go run. Now you go get away from your oppressor. You go get away from your difficulty. And I started seeing what I had done. Listen, if you suffer and you're in the will of God in your life, you're in the will of God, you're seeking his face, you're being molded into his image, you're walking in his life and hating your own, then you will have the peace of God. You will have the presence of the Lord like you can't imagine. But if you run from it, if you run from authority, run from marriage and go from marriage to marriage to marriage, or even just run from the marriage you're in, if you run from it, then you get out of the will of God. And now you may not be under that oppression. You may not be in that difficult relationship. But now where's the glory? Where's the real presence of the Lord? We have what they call, I hate to even get into this because people will hate me. It's hard for me to talk about this as a white man with a European background or whatever. But we have the songs called the Negro Spirituals. And man, when slavery was going on, it was 100% wrong. I'm not suggesting it was right, nor that we should return to it in any way, especially that transatlantic going and stealing people and selling them. It was horrible. But when the black people in the United States were under such oppression, many of them really went after God with all their heart, man. They would be oppressed by these evil people. And under that oppression, they would begin to seek the Lord. And they would cry out to God. And they'd actually be out in the fields working and worshiping, friend. This wasn't just a little tune they were singing. They were out in the fields working under bondage. And they were worshiping. And they were glorifying God. And they began to sing. And all that pressure and all that pain caused them to go after God. Now, listen to me. I'm not suggesting that's a good thing for people to do. Listen, every oppressor will suffer every oppressor, every person who oppresses other people, every person who's harsh to any other person, every person who would go and steal a human being and sell them, which they're still doing today. This has not ended. Human trafficking is going on all over the world. Slavery's happening all over the world. Every person who participates in that and does those kinds of things to other people, they will suffer tremendously. And if they don't find Christ, friend, their suffering is going to be eternal. Their suffering will be much greater than the one they oppressed. But when Jesus comes, he says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And he tells them in the Word of God, if you have a master who's harsh, submit to them. Why in the world would Jesus say things like that? Because, friend, the goal of God is not to make you happy. It's not to make you happy in this world. As a matter of fact, the first shall be last. The last shall be first. Those who are persecuted now, those who are suffering now, those who are oppressed now, those are the ones who will be on the top when all this is over. And friend, this is very, very, very short. If you want to find who God favors, find the ones that are oppressed. There's something that God, I mean, somebody was praying. Somebody was crying out to God in Africa. And the black people in America, somebody was crying out to God, because if you look around the world at the oppression, it's not just black people, but there's been many cultures that have been in bondage. The Jews were enslaved for like 400 years, friend. They were enslaved and forced to work, bond servants. If you want to find who God favors, find who's being oppressed. Those are the ones God favors. Those are the ones that God loves. Those are the ones that somebody prayed. Somebody cried out to God. And God is taking an entire culture and drawing them to himself, which is exactly what was happening in the slave trade years ago. And many got born. The reason we have Pentecost today, the reason we believe in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit, is because of a one-eyed black man named William Seymour. William said, one-eyed black man in America way back when oppression was still huge. And I'm sure he was related to slaves. I mean, it was way back when I can't remember the year, but it was the Assemblies of God was founded through the Azusa Street Revival. If you look that up, that was all birthed by a black man named William Seymour who had one eye. Can you imagine the oppression that this man faced? Can you imagine the things he went through? And man, he found the glory of God. And he got up in front of all these white folks back then who were prejudiced and racist. And he preached the gospel, the real gospel, and the power of God. Man, and I mean revival broke out. Everybody wanted to listen to William Seymour. There's a one-eyed black man up there preaching to all these white folks. Amen. Everybody getting saved and getting delivered in America, in old America, where racism was so oppressive. And I mean, man, that was even before the water fountain thing. It was terrible. And so praise the Lord Jesus. We need to understand, do not be lied to by the devil. Even your friends, even people who mean well, will try to get you to believe. The devil will try to use them to get you to believe this idea that there's happiness out there for you if you'll run from your pain, if you'll run from your troubles. And it's not true. It's not true. The enemy often has made me jealous. Seeing relationships or seeing situations where people seem to be perfectly happy, where everything seems to be going well for them. And I'm like, oh man, Lord, maybe that's why I suffer so much. The only reason I suffer is when I get outside of God's presence. It doesn't matter who I'm living with, what I'm facing, what I'm dealing with. It doesn't matter what happened in the relationships. It doesn't matter who's coming against me. Real suffering is to be away from the presence of God. Real suffering is to be outside of the will of God. That's what real suffering is, man. The oppression we face and the pain we face from our relationships and our difficulties in this life, friend, that's temporary, momentary suffering that's going to produce in us an eternal glory. But the real suffering is for a believer, is to get outside of God's will, to not walk in His presence fully. And God uses all of these things that we're dealing with to bring us into His glory, to bring us into His presence. So for time's sake, I'll quit today. But I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't run from your marriage. Don't run from the oppressive boss. Don't run from your parents. You know, don't run from situations because you think there's happiness out there for you. You might find temporary happiness, but I can assure you it's going to come with anxiety. I can assure you it's going to come with deep, deep difficulties in your soul, because you cannot escape. You can't escape the will of God. You can't escape the suffering of the world and go find your perfect happiness. Somebody said, well, I'm on my third marriage and I finally found the right one. I finally found a person I can live with without any pressure. And I just was sitting there thinking about that as I was talking to him. I was like, And how the person lives, you know, there's no presence of God at all. There's nothing. Just watch TV all day, you know, live life, just sow some things, do some things, you know. There's really no presence of God. Yeah? There's really no seeking of His face. There's no revelation of truth. But now they're comfortable, and they really don't need to, you know. Now, before, when they were under all kinds of pain and difficulties, there were times it's, God, I need You, help me. Oh, my God. Lord, what is this all about? Do You hate me, God? And we start going through all these things, and that's what God uses to bring us to the truth and bring us to His presence, friend. It's not about this life. It's not about this life. God told me years ago, where do you see focus on the family in the Bible? Where do you see that? This idea that we have. You know, Peter, when Jesus called Peter, Peter was married. Peter walked away. It didn't mean he didn't take care of his wife. He walked away. Can you imagine what his wife thought about that? For 3.5 years, Peter walked away and walked with Jesus. I'm sure he took care of his family. I'm sure he helped them, sent money, whatever he did. But Jesus said, no man has left wife, no man has left house, no man has left children for my sake, you know, that I won't give it back to him, that he won't gain. You know, and that's the truth. That's the truth. But in this world, it's like focus on the family. And I had a pastor recently tell me, and the pastor was not walking in this presence of the Lord at all. Yeah. Trying to talk to me about, you know, working on the perfect marriage and working on the, and here's what he said. He said, your marriage comes before God. I couldn't believe he said it. And then he tried to reword it. He's like, well, what I mean by that is your marriage comes before your spirituality, comes before the church, comes before your calling. I said, no. I went and sat with a counselor one day. My wife and I went to marriage counseling. And of course, we would never need that because we had the perfect, but we went to marriage counseling. And this counselor was a pastor, a female pastor, who had gotten out of the ministry because her husband didn't like the ministry. And so she's sitting there, I'm sitting there with my wife, and she said, well, certainly your wife is more important than your calling, right? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. She is not more important than my calling from God. Never will be. That doesn't mean I shouldn't love her like Christ loves the church. It doesn't mean I shouldn't be patient with her. It doesn't mean I shouldn't walk in the presence of God and wash her with the water of His Word. That's what Scripture says, friend. That's what the Scripture says. And so I believe what the Word of God says. If a man follows Christ, his enemies will be those of his own household. It doesn't mean you have to treat them like enemies. You should love your enemy. Do good to them. Even if they hate you, even if they despise you, even if they don't like what you're doing in the presence of God, even if they don't like going after God like that, even if they want the things of the world and you don't, you should go after God and love them and walk in the presence and the peace of God. Consider them before yourself. Be kind to them. That's what it's all about. But friend, this idea of putting our family before the Lord is not, absolutely not biblical in any way, shape, or form. The focus on the family is not from God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As a matter of fact, Paul suggested that we don't get married so that we don't end up focusing on the family rather than God. That's exactly what he said. Go read it. He said, I don't do it, but if you do it, you're not sinning. But I would prefer that you not do it. It's good that a man not touch a woman. It's good not to get married. But if you can't restrain yourself, go ahead and do it. But you're going to have a ton of problems in the flesh. And I would that you be undistracted. For a person who's married is focused on their family. They're focused on the wife. They're focused on the husband. But I want that you be focused on God, that you're that you would not be distracted by focusing on these things. And I thought, oh my goodness. But there's so much, especially in America, so much deception that's in our lives through movies and through entertainment and through ideas that Satan has given us that are not godly ideas. So may God deliver us. May God deliver us from the lies. Friend, if you're in a difficult marriage, if you're in a difficult family, a difficult situation, don't run from it and try to find the perfect one. Don't run from it and try to find happiness. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you married the wrong person. There's a person out there for you. Friend, you might work on your marriage more than anybody in the world's ever worked on marriage, and it still is not paradise. It still is difficult every day. It still is hard to communicate. You still have to bite your tongue. You still have to get in the presence of God just to be able to talk to your family, just to be able to be patient with them. You have to pray an hour before you come out of your room just to be patient, just to be kind, friend. Whatever it takes in Jesus' name. This is God. He's working on us. He's working in us for His glory. So God bless you today in the name of Jesus. Don't run from suffering. Submit to the will of God. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen.